Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's clap to the Lord right now because he's worthy. Come on, as loud as you can to an almighty God who's worthy right now. Amen. Why don't you turn to a couple people and say, it's great to be at Deeper tonight. Big smile on your face. Say, it's great to be at Deeper tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Well, what an honor it is to be here with you. This is my first time to be on this beautiful campus. I know things were going to be just a little different than any other trip. I landed in Washington this afternoon. We got in our propeller plane to head here, and the stewardess said, "Is there anyone on this airplane that isn't a student?" And so there was only about four of us in the entire plane. And so I knew things were a little different. You see, the town I came from is half the size of this campus, the whole city. And so what an opportunity to reach out to people that are hungry. I believe that there are people who are still looking for the hand of God in their life. I believe that there is hunger in this place. Can someone say amen? And I believe that this event is going to do some great things in your lives, and from your life, it's going to go out from there. Now, as my position with the General Youth Division, I am oversee the campus ministry efforts, and I can tell you that Scott and Amy Patterson are amazing people of God, and we are so grateful of the work that they're doing. Can you give them some honor for all of their hard work? Can you imagine welcoming a new baby to this world and working with Deeper all in the same week? Imagine that. Thank you so much. I look forward to spending some time together. And then Pastor Cluster, thank you so much for your vision. And thank you for picking me up at the airport today and your hospitality. I don't plan to be long tonight. I've already felt the presence of God, but I feel like there's a word from God that is just exactly going along with what Brother Patterson said earlier. I feel the presence of God in this place. I'm so honored to team up with Brother Green at this event the first time, and I know his son very well. I had a chance to work with him on many projects. Brother Green, I'm looking forward to just working with you in this entire weekend on this beautiful campus. Mark 11 and 23. I believe that we're on a journey right now, a journey to a closer walk with Jesus Christ. But I believe exactly what Brother Patterson said, and it's almost as if I had sent my notes to him early, because I have in my notes right here, I believe that some have come who are very hungry. Now, if you've come to this event and you have everything that you need, all your needs are supplied, and there's nothing you are wanting, then I'm probably not speaking to you. If your life is perfect, why would you need God? If your life is perfect, you're self-sufficient. But I don't know about you, but I need Calvary every single day. There isn't one day that I don't need to get on my knees and humble myself before Almighty God. I realize tonight I'm speaking to different groups of people. I understand I'm speaking to those who have never been in an apostolic atmosphere. I understand I'm speaking to students, apostolic students who are now in school. And then I understand that I'm speaking to some that are just part of the congregation. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I feel the presence of God is here for each person that is here. But you must have a hunger inside. Your heart must be open. Mark 11 and 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Everyone say whatsoever. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what thing soever ye desire, everyone say desire. When ye pray, this means when we pray, not if we pray. When ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. You hear what the scripture said? Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you'll get it, and it says you shall have them. What a promise. Psalms 27 and 4. One thing have I desired, everyone say desired, of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I'm so honored to be here with such a great group of people. I believe that we're already in the presence of Almighty God. Tonight, for just a few moments, I want to speak to you on this first night of Deeper on this topic. Desires that determine your destiny. Your desires that determine your destiny. Lift your hands up to heaven. Close your eyes. Jesus, right now, I need my heart to be prepared. Come on, I need everyone to pray right. If you're hungry, if you want more of God, I need you to cry out to heaven. I need you to cry like you need something. I don't know if there's someone in your family that needs to be saved. I don't know if you have a personal need, a financial need. You're depressed. I don't care what the need. I need someone who is hungry tonight to call unto God. Jesus, we are hungry for your presence. We're hungry for more of you. You see the needs in this place. We ask your presence to be here right now. Let your power sweep into this place. We thank you so much that you're here. Can you clap to him right now? Come on, everyone clap to him. Amen. You may be seated. One of the best parts about being a dad is having those special moments with your children. How many dads are here tonight? All the dads, shout to the Lord. Yes. How many love being a dad? Well, I have two children. I have a 13-year-old girl, and I have an 8-year-old boy. And this is a picture of my 8-year-old boy. Everyone say, hi, Jace. This is my little Jace. One of my favorite things to do, well, there's several things I like to do with Jace. I like to go out just to eat with just Jace because he loves his food so much. He's been wanting me to go to this hot dog place, brand new hot dog place. I need to take him over there and get him a hot dog. But I love to take him for an ice cream. He can eat more ice cream than the rest of the whole family. And he just loves life. If you know Jace, he just loves life. I just got a picture right before service started that he's outside right now sledding. The only place there's snow in our yard right now is on the driveway because I didn't clean it before I left. And so he's sliding down the driveway with a big smile on his face. Jace loves life. But one of the things he likes to do that I'd be doing about right now, well, maybe just a little later, is I would be reading a book to him because every night he loves to read. Now, most of the time when I read a book to him, I'll be reading just normally, and then I'll insert his name somewhere just to see if he's listening. So it's Little Red Riding Hood. Then all of a sudden, little J. Samuel Johnson came, Dad, stop it, right in the middle of the book, every time just to make sure he's listening. One night, I was reading a book about the human body, and particularly this night, it was about the heart. Everyone say the heart. He was very curious about the heart, and I told Jace that he could listen to my heartbeat. He didn't know that you could do that. So Jace put his head down to my chest. He was very quiet, and he listened to a heart for the very first time in his entire life. He was 7 years old. And his eyes got big. He could not believe he was listening to a real, live, human heart. And he says, Dad, you want to listen to my heart? I'm like, yeah, I want to listen to your heart. So he got real quiet. I put my head down, and I listened. And I could hear it. I'm telling you what, his heart was beating fast. But he goes 90 to nothing. He has two gears, asleep and 100 miles an hour. And so I listened. And he said, Dad, what do you hear? Listen, I said, I hear your heart. He said, you do? I hope so. Yeah, I hear your heart. He said, what else do you hear? And I thought I'd get a little clever here. I said, well, I hear that you love ice cream. His eyes got real big. I hear that you love strawberries. He loves strawberries. You hear that? I hear that you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan. I hear it, Jace. I hear that you're in love with Madeline. Dad, you don't hear that in my heart. Yeah, the little girl who likes him. And so he said, Dad, you can't hear all that. I said, no, I really can, but I had fun. He says, oh, you scared me there for a second, Dad. I held him in my arms, and he went to sleep. Brother Patterson, as he went to sleep, I looked at the ceiling, and I stared at it. As he was snoring in my arms, I began to think for just a moment, what if God could hear my heart? What if in this place tonight I could put a microphone up to your heart, Abby, and I could hear everything that you love the most? What if each of us, would it be an awkward moment in here? Would it be uncomfortable for us? I'm asking us all to think about, what do we desire most in our life? You must understand that there are things that can sometimes get into our heart and our spirit that we're not proud of. Can someone say amen? There are times in our life we must protect our heart. Proverbs 4:23 tells us this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The NIV says it this way: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So what is in our heart is so very important. Do we love the same things he loves? Do we think the way he thinks? Does our spiritual heartbeat sound like this heartbeat of Almighty God? See, we've been called to deeper, to begin, as we start this weekend, to begin to think about and do some inventory of our life. Before anything's ever going to be poured in, there's going to have to be some things poured out. Never will forget, I was in service one time, and I was there, and I was leading like I did every week, and sometimes we go through the motions. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Go through the motions. We raise our hands at the right time so pastor's happy, and we do the same things over and over and over again, and you know what it is. You come in, sing a couple songs, you take offering, sermon, leave, IHOP, whatever, Starbucks late, yeah, Instagram it, talk about what greatest service, Twitter, done, next Monday. Next time for Wednesday night, we go through the same thing. It becomes routine. So routine, it's like sometimes you're driving. You've been driving 45 minutes and you don't even remember where you were 15 minutes ago. You just drive. But we can go on autopilot spiritually when we can stop feeling that power of God like we once did. I was in service one time and everyone else, you know the service when everyone else was really feeling it and you're like, what are they feeling? Because I'm not feeling it tonight. I know y'all are spiritual. You never get that way. But just forgive this backslidden man at times. I came in a service and said, God, what is it? I'll never forget that night. I went to the altar as they were all worshiping and having a good time. And I said, God, why can't I feel it? And this is what God told me. When you pour out, I'll pour in. What do you mean? It means if you have a 2-liter and it's already filled, and you go to pour something else in, there's a problem. It's already filled. But if you empty it all out, what am I talking about? I'm talking about some distractions and things that come into our life that are not like God. When we pour out of those things, then we can go deeper. Until we pour them out before the altar and give them to him and ask him for forgiveness, when we pour out, he can pour in. How many believe that right now? How many believe he still can fill with the Holy Ghost? How many believe in his power in this place right now? You see, when you pour out, he will pour in. It comes down to desires. Now, I looked up the word desire in the dictionary, and it means this: something that we want, something that we long for, or something that we crave. Now, each person here has desires. Some are good and some are bad. Realize that every single day there is a battle for your desires. Now, let me talk about this for just a few moments. There are voices calling your name, young ladies. Voices every single day that wants your life to destroy it. Every single day, there are things in this life, young man, that will call you and can cause you to go astray. Those are evil desires. There was a desire to come to the house of God tonight. Let's hear it up for everyone who came to the house of God tonight. That was a good desire. And I believe that word desire means something you long for. I believe that someone is longing for more of God in this place tonight. Desires. Every single day, the good things are the desires of serving Almighty God, the desires of serving others and loving people, the desires to have a clean heart and life. And then there are some desires that could go good or bad. I want all the college students, if you would please stand. All the college students, I'm going to talk to you for just a moment. One of those things that could go good or bad is education. Everyone say education. All right, we know who y'all are. You may be seated. Education is not bad. Now, maybe you've gone to a youth camp at one time and the evangelist came and told you that everyone needs to go and become a preacher. Maybe you thought that's the only thing. I don't believe that. I'm not that preacher tonight. I went to business school. I'm still a preacher. All of us are called to be an evangelist. Every single one of us. So education is one of those things that can be good or bad. How can it be bad, Brother Johnson? Let me tell you how it can be bad. When your education becomes all of your life and all of your desires, and that's all you want in life, there is something wrong. Because it's not about our kingdom, it's about His kingdom. Well, I just want to make six figures and bless the kingdom of God. Are you sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with anyone? Or is it just about them? We've got to be serious about the kingdom of God. What are your desires? You're in school right now, I heard. Awesome. I think every student should go to college. Can someone hear it up for that? I think that every student can go to college. It takes energy. It takes a desire. And all those things for education. This man right here is an example. Went to college, and now he's benefiting others. All across this room are examples of those who have gone and got educated, but then been a blessing to others. But it's not what it's all about. We have to get our education, and more important than anything else is to evangelize to others. I was so blessed. I was in Illinois this weekend, and when I was in junior college, I talked to a young lady there, and I gave her a Bible study, and 20 years later, I saw her at a rally in Illinois. This last Friday night, she's still serving God. And I began to think for just a moment. My greatest accomplishment in that junior college was not getting the A on the test. The greatest accomplishment was when this young lady came up to me and her life was broken, I shared that there was a hope and there was a love in the house of God. I hope that we haven't forgotten that there are other people that are hungering. You may be here tonight and you may be hungry. I'm here to tell you that God Almighty is here in this place, and He will touch your life. He can heal you in this place right now. It comes down to desires. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it's important to accomplish things in this life. But most importantly, we've got to serve Almighty God with everything that we've got. All of our spirit, because Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Before education, before that person you marry, before possessions, you must seek ye first the kingdom of God. Can someone clap right now? If you want Him to be first, come on, can you clap to Him right now? We want You to be first in our life, God. Desire is the birthplace for our destiny. You don't believe me? Consider a woman named Eve who walked through the Garden of Eden. It was the most beautiful place you've ever seen. It was paradise. Anything and everything Adam and Eve ever wanted was there. But in the midst of the garden was a serpent, a deceiving beast who had been looking for the right opportunity. Genesis 3 and 6 tells us this. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband and her, and he did eat. Did you catch that? It was something to be desired. It was a craving. Eve looked at the tree, and immediately a desire was planted in her soul. It looked so delicious. I can be wise. I can be smarter than God. Yes, I want that. It was a desire, and soon that desire was launched into an action. Adam and Eve only had one rule to follow, but it was broken. They knew exactly what God had said, but they were driven by a desire. And it was this one decision that caused the fall of mankind. Just one simple desire. But these weren't the only Bible characters. For a moment, consider a Bible character named Samson. He took the Nazarite vow and was raised in a godly home. His vow separated him from others around him. He had super strength. He was a superhero. As he grew up, he had a love for God, but there were desires in his heart, and it involved a woman. All the guys say, uh-oh. It is interesting to study on the name Delilah. Her name is a wordplay on the Hebrew word Layla, and literally means night or woman of the night. Interestingly enough, the name Samson means man of the sun. So Samson was meant to be the man of the light, and Delilah was woman of the night. You see, Samson's desire and God's desire were completely different. They were fighting against each other, and it will never work. You can't desire the world and God at the same time. You can't hunger the world and hunger God at the same time. There's gonna be some things that you leave behind, but it will cost you something. It will cost you something. Around Christmas time, I decided I wanted to lose some weight. It sounds great when you say it. And then you try to travel 3 or 4 times a week. You try to find diet food at the airport. So I got a Fitbit. This is a machine of the devil. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? To get to 12,000 steps, you know what I was doing at the airport today? I was walking all around the airport. One time this guy stopped me. He says, what are you doing? I said, have you heard of Fitbit? Oh, that's what you're doing. He's like, I thought you were nervous or something. Okay? Here's the thing. I've desired to lose weight for a long time. But I had decided when I couldn't fit into my suit that I had to do something. So I started doing it. You see, you've got to desire it so much that you're ready to take some action. Well, I really want a revival in my youth group, but you don't come to pray. I really want revival on our campus. Well, where were you at service last week, Wednesday? I really want my friends to know the truth. Have you told anyone the truth? Do you know how to teach a Bible study? Have you gotten into the Word of God? You see, it's more than just simply desire. After desire comes, you put action into it. What's going to happen in just a moment? We desire God, but we're going to come to the altar and put some action into it. You see, it's these desires that will determine your destiny. In your life tonight, I believe I'm speaking to someone who has good desires. If you did not have any good desires, you would not want to be here tonight because you know the power of God is here. But if you desire something of God, I'm asking someone to have faith right now to know that he's in this place. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. His power's in this place right now. Can you clap to him right now? what happened in the upper room in the book of Acts. They all came together in one mind and one accord. Now, Brother Green, can you imagine if they got there in the upper room and says, you know what? I want to feel the presence of God, but I've got to keep up with my Instagram post right now. And this upper room thing, I really just don't have time right now. And I got to do a selfie right now in the upper room. A selfie in the upper room. Wouldn't that be a nice hashtag? Selfie in the upper room. See the flames behind me? And let me just say what happens. We can get so caught up in how people perceive us that we forget about taking care of our heart and our own spirit. We can never give out to others until we've taken care of this right here. You see, what happened on the day of Pentecost is they were all in one mind and one accord, and they did not have any distractions. They put everything else on pause and said, you know what? There's one thing that I desire. I desire Almighty God to come into our midst. And I wonder tonight what would happen with everyone here tonight if we all had the same desire for God to move in this place. What about Azusa Street? Brother Patterson did such a great job of telling us what happened at Azusa Street. And we know the stories that are involving that, but it started with what? A hunger, a desire. A strong desire for a closer walk with Jesus Christ. But I don't know about you, I'm tired of us talking about how they used to experience it and how there was an upper room one day and how there was an Azusa Street. What if there was an article, historians talked about what happened in Penn State one night when there are some people who got together on a campus of over 40,000 people and said, you know what, in this campus, as I looked at this artwork in this hallway and I see images of devils and false religion, but there's a hunger inside of me that somehow they must know the truth. I want to know, is there anyone who has that kind of hunger in their spirit? Because if you will have that desire in your heart, not only will it change your life, but it will change everyone out there who's drinking a Starbucks and a Coca-Cola, people who need Jesus in their life. Do you feel the cry of this campus? Of people who are looking for things, but they don't know where to find it. You see, as I began to diet, I was realizing the reason why I was eating 3 and 4 candy bars a day is because my body was looking for a certain vitamin. And when I started to give it the right vitamins and taking care of itself, I'm not craving all those. Well, I sometimes do. I'm not craving those as much because I'm going to the source of the answer. And many times what this world's looking for, they think that a Friday night party is going to make them happy. It may make them happy for a season. And then you wake up the next morning. This world will give you temporary happiness, but it will never give you joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There is nothing like the presence of Almighty God. Now, I know what, how many would love to have $1 million? Okay, this is the lie test. Hashtag lie test. How many would like to have $1 million? $2 million? My man right here, if I had $1 million, you wouldn't take it? Okay. How many would like $15 million? Okay, well, let's just be honest. Someone say, money doesn't make you happy. You know what I want to say? Try me. Before I worked for the General Youth Division, I worked in the healthcare field, and I worked with a doctor who was probably the richest man in the entire region. If you'd say, Matt, take me to your former hometown and show me the nicest home there, I would take you to the castle. The castle, when you'd pull up, you just wouldn't believe that it was a house. It was humongous. Orthopedic surgeon. I worked with him every day. 6-car garage. He had his own area to go hunting behind his house. He had a whole room for stuffed animals. And I'm not talking about the stuffed animals that you sleep with. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm not talking about the, I'm talking like giraffes, wild beasts. It was as big as this room right here, just for his wild animals. Talk about exotic. He had people clean his house. He had, if you think about it, it's exactly what I would want. Brother Cluster, let's be honest. I'd want a castle. I'd want a couple trucks. I would want all that. And we begin to look at that and say, you know what? If I could just have that, then I would finally be happy. Never will forget, it was a morning, a busy morning at the surgery center, and we were working nonstop, and all of a sudden, the orthopedic surgeon, this doctor, came in and said, I need to talk to you. And I was like, oh my goodness. You see, he was a board member, and he could fire me. So I was like, oh, I did something wrong this time. About that time, I heard,
Dr. Beanick to OR1, please, Dr. Beanick to OR1.
So I was like, hey, doc, they need you in OR1. He says, I need to talk to you. Then I really knew I was in trouble. So he closed the door and sat down. About the time there was a knock, the nurse came in and said, doctor, the patient is asleep on the table. We need you to do the surgery right now. He said, I'm busy right now. And he shut the door. I was just wanting to get the pink paper out and just sign my resignation right there. But this is what he said. From a man who had everything, he said, I heard you know how to pray. And I heard that you know how to touch the throne of God. And I heard that you have a God who's able. And if that is true, then I need you to pray for me right now. Now, if you have everything in the world, why would you need to pray? It's because this world will never satisfy you. To that student who's here and you think, if I can just get this degree, if I can just get my board certification, if I can just get that great practice, if I can just get all these possessions, if I could get a hunk of a husband, if I could get all those things, then no, you will not. You better keep a desire in your heart for Almighty God. So, Brother Cluster, what would you have done? Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. This doctor was desperate. You know what? He had a hunger in his heart. He had a hunger for something more than he had it before, because before he had filled it with other things. But this world is looking for more. I didn't know what else to do. So I just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, right here in the surgery center, I'm asking you to touch my friend. I laid my hands on him. I laid my hands on him. I looked up when we were done. He had tears. He wiped them away. He said, I got a surgery. For weeks, he came to my office, shut the door, and said, pray. I'm about ready to add to my job description. Wasn't the only employee there. Never will forget, the secretary at my office came one day and she wrote a note to my wife and I and said, I'm going through all kinds of things in my life. I don't understand what's going on. I've had this situation come up in my life. Would you just pray? And we begin to pray. But just 2 weeks later, she came to our church for the very first time. She lifted her hands up to heaven. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost because she was looking for something more. Now, 10 years later, she is still living for God because this world is looking for something more. Do you have a desire? That person who's here tonight, if you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, all it takes is desire. I want the musicians to come. I'm almost done. Remember that little boy? Let's go back to the picture of my little boy, a little smiley. Can we go back to that? Picture of my little boy. There he is right there. This summer, I went to a missions trip to the Netherlands, AYC trip. And on that AYC trip, I came back just so excited. But my son was so happy to see me when we came home. And the problem was, when you go to the Netherlands, you came home, your sleep pattern's all messed up. So we were getting up at like 4:30 in the morning. I didn't even know there was a 4:30 in the morning. Getting up at 4:30 in the morning, and my son was so excited about seeing me, he woke up with us. So I'm sitting there with a cup of coffee, and Jace came over, and he was just talking, and we were having some prayer time. I was reading the word. I saw my wife. She was in the other room. By this time, it was about 5:30 in the morning. My wife was praying, and she turned to Jace. I understand he's a young man. And she said, "Jace, you need the gift of the Holy Ghost." And I'm saying this for someone here tonight who says it's too hard to get the Holy Ghost. It's very easy to get the Holy Ghost. What you have to do is ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you pour out, he forgives you, and you can receive this gift. And it's here for everyone who wants to receive it. We complicate it sometimes. It is so easy to receive his power. So there, my wife was praying with my little boy, and as they begin to pray, he kind of looked up like, "We're really doing this at 5:30 in the morning?" They kept praying, and finally my wife said, "Come here, let's pray with him. He needs the Holy Ghost." At this time, I'm getting a little carnal. I mean, on the day of Pentecost, they at least waited till 9 in the morning. But at that time, Jace began to cry. He felt something in that room. There was desire in his heart. In that living room, he lifted his hands up to heaven. And many times when people want to receive the Holy Ghost, we tell them things. I said to him, "Jace, just give him your tongue." And he stopped everything. He turned to me and says, "How do I give God my tongue?" And this is what I finally said to him, Brother Cluster. I said, "Jace, when you want the Holy Ghost as much as you want that new Lego set that you've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks, when you want the Holy Ghost that much, he will fill you with the Holy Ghost." I want to show you this picture of Jace just a few minutes later as he lifted his hands up to heaven. And in our living room at 6:30 in the morning this summer, God filled him with the Holy Ghost for one reason: desire. I want everyone to stand to your feet right now. I realize I'm speaking to a mixed group of people tonight, but I believe each person here has something they desire. Maybe you're here tonight and you need a miracle in your life. Maybe you need a healing in your body. Maybe you need peace in your mind. Maybe you need a financial situation taken. I don't care what the need is right now. Almighty God is here right now. The question is, do you have desire? I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands up to heaven right now. Every person in this place. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Right now in this place, Almighty God, I thank you, God, that we are able to gather at Deeper 2015. For such a time as this. God, if you can fill my little boy with the Holy Ghost, you can fill someone tonight, tomorrow with the Holy Ghost. We need you in our midst right now. We need your power. I'm going to look right here for just a moment. I'm going to give you one more scripture and then I'm going to open up these altars. James 4:8. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." This is what that means. If you want God to come close to you, you've got to take that first step. God, come and fill. He's waiting for you to take the first step. So right now, I'm believing that first step is for you to come down to this altar right now, lift your hands up to heaven and say, "Almighty God, I desire you more than anything else in this entire world." You see, this desire tonight can change your destiny. How hungry are you for more of God? How hungry are you for some things to be changed in your life? For you to be emptied out before him so he can change you and anoint you and use your life for his glory. Come on, that's it right now. Everyone in this place, can you lift your hands up to heaven? Can you pour out so that he will pour in? in the name of Jesus right now. Almighty God, you are here right now. Humble myself before you, God. Come on, that's it all across this place. Almighty God is here. He's wanted to know, do you have that desire? Do you have a hunger? Do you have a craving for my presence? I'm here for you right now. I'm just waiting for you to reach out. If you draw nigh to me right now, I'll draw nigh to you.
You can use me. I give myself away.